morning. I'd like for you to turn with me there in your Bibles, if you would. John chapter 8. I want to talk this morning about deoxyribonucleic acid. See, since Brother Dave isn't here today, he's in Honduras. I might have pronounced it wrong, you know, but he's not here to make any corrections. But deoxyribonucleic acid, otherwise known as DNA, and I'm talking about things I know not of. Just what I have read and a little bit I come to understand. It's some long molecule that contains genetic information. It's kind of your unique genetic code, you know, your DNA. I heard somebody describe it. It's like a recipe book, and it contains all the information that makes you what you are. Amen. Now, you know, if you watch TV at all, news or TV shows, especially those crime shows, you know, they'll show you how DNA testing has, they've caught criminals, solved some old cases because they tested DNA and it proved who was the person that was there and committed the crime. It's also exonerated people who had been convicted of crimes, and when they later had the capability to test DNA, they found out that guy was not guilty. He didn't do it. So DNA testing has convicted quite a few people, and it's exonerated quite a few people. You know, proved innocence, proved guilt. We know it proves ancestry also, where you came from. I saw a TV commercial not long ago. It was for Ancestry.com. Y'all seen that TV commercial where the guy says, you know, I thought all my life that I was German. Come to find out, you know, had this DNA test, and now I find out I'm Scottish. So I guess he's wearing a kilt and playing a bagpipe now. But, you know, you can pay $99. They'll send you a DNA test kit. You swab the inside of your cheek, put it in a container, mail it to them, and in 6 weeks or 8 weeks, they'll send you a report that tells you the breakdown of your ancestral DNA, where you came from. It will tell you, oh, they divide the world up into 26 different people groups, you know, all around the world. You may be descended from Eastern or Western Europeans, or I think there's 9 distinct people groups in the continent of Africa or Asia. You know, I don't know how many people groups they have in the continent of Asia, but Native American and so forth. They can tell you, well, you are 42% Italian, 3% Native American, 18% West European. You know, they can tell you, they can break this down. Every ethnicity has distinct DNA markers. These are some kind of codes that, you know, beyond my pay grade, to be sure. But I think most of us would learn, if we had our DNA tested, that we were Heinz 57, that we're, you know, we're a little bit of everything. Some interesting things that all this DNA has proven, it's proven things like the Book of Mormon is a work of fiction, because they, you know, the Book of Mormon is all about how Jews became the Native Americans, and their DNA markers prove just the opposite, that the Native Americans have nothing to do with Jewish ancestry. They come from Asia, Eastern Asia. That's what they descended from. It's also discredited, already discredited book, Herbert W. Armstrong's British Israelism, who claimed the Europeans were the 10 lost tribes, you know, and that brings it down to the Americans, the 10 lost tribes. The Americans, the Europeans, are not Jews. They do not have the Jewish markers. They can trace this all the way back, and they know that that's absolutely not the case. In fact, these markers are so distinct that scientists say that biological, some kind of genetic weapons can actually be invented that would only target those markers in particular people groups. So that if diabolical Arabs, for instance, wanted to target the specific DNA in the Jews and target them for some kind of special weapon, it theoretically could be done. Very, very scary stuff. This DNA stuff is pretty impressive. You know, one thing it shows me is just the wonder of God. Because the more we look, the more we realize this stuff. And yet we're told this all happened by accident. Yeah. So we also know DNA can prove parentage, paternity. In the old days, you know, they would do blood tests, but blood tests can't really prove paternity. It can only disprove paternity, you know, because certain blood types don't produce another blood type. And if a child has one blood type, they might be able to disprove that a particular person is not the father. But it can't prove conclusively he is the father, because there might be 10 million people who have that particular blood type. But DNA testing has 99.9% certainty that a particular person is the biological father of a child, as you may or may not see on the Maury show, which, you know, that is really the best that TV has to offer. They use processes way beyond my comprehension to determine all of these things, but, you know, that's all part of DNA. It's interesting that they can prove who, I mean, they know who the mama is. There's no mamas walking around thinking, gee, I didn't know I had a baby. You know? But daddies, on the other hand, you know, yeah. And it's possible that there are people who might think one person is their father, and they find out that that's not their father at all. Now, you know, there's a spiritual lesson here too, right? Because there are many people who think God is their father. And while the Bible does teach that there is a universal brotherhood of man, in a sense, we're all the human race, yet Jesus talked of the children of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 speaks of the children of God and the children of the devil. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that some people are going to find out too late. They think God's their father, but they're going to find out too late when the Lord said, I don't know who you are. So, but we've done all these wonderful works. We're religious people. We pray. We cast out devils even. We cast out devils. We've prophesied. We've got signs and wonders following. That's a guarantee of our paternity. But in Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, then I will say unto you, I don't know who you are. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, you worker of iniquity. So it's possible. Some people will think they have one father, but they'll find out too late. Too late. It's too late then to find out who your father actually is. If you're with me in John's Gospel chapter 8, I want to read a passage over here that I believe is among the more sober things that the Lord said, if there is such a thing as anything being more sober than another. But in John 8, beginning in verse 38, Jesus said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Now he's speaking to the Jews. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. They're claiming their DNA. They're claiming their parentage, their paternity. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't do that. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? In verse 47, he that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Children of God and the children of the devil. He said in verse 38, he walks in the way of his father. This is what the Lord said. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Now, let me tell you, this is powerful. He said, I speak what I have witnessed, what I have seen with my father. You know, it's like father, like son, or as Ezekiel 16 says, as is the mother, so is the daughter. We speak what we see. We act like our parents. If your parent, if your dad was a drunken, brawling, cussing, violent type person, you know, there's such a tendency for us to act like him, because we emulate that example. We do what we saw. Of course, if you become a Christian, you're a new creation, and all the old things are passed away. And we're not like that anymore. Amen. I said, we're not like that anymore. Amen. We don't act like that father. We act like this father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. You act like your father. You've got his DNA. They answered and said, we're Abraham's our father. Well, they're claiming physical parentage. But Jesus is speaking spiritually here. And he said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd act like Abraham. If you were descendants of Abraham in the faith, you too would be men and women of faith. You would be godly. You would be obedient. That's what Abraham was. Godly, obedient. But he said, here's proof positive. You are not a descendant of Abraham. You seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth. Well, you know, the devil's kids never did like the truth. Amen. And they still don't. They still resist the truth. They still oppose the truth. He said, Abraham didn't do that. He said, you seek to kill me, a man that's told you the truth. This I've heard of God. Abraham didn't do that. So you sure aren't like your dad. You're claiming parentage. He says, verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. You do the deeds of your father. You'll know them by their fruit. Amen. How do they act? And he's not talking about just how do they act in church on Sunday. How do they act? You act like your dad. You act like your father. And then he told him in verse 44, the devil's your father, because you act just like him. You do what he did. You're following your father's example. Verse 42, he said, if God were your father, you would love me. Now here's a clue. People who truly, genuinely with all their heart, love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, then you would honor him, reverence him. You would regard him with such reverence that never would you speak in any way disparagingly of him. You would hold him in such reverence and awe that it would reveal God in you. Because he says, if God was your father, you would love me. Because I came forth from God. I didn't come from myself. I came from the Father. You would love the Lord. You would love the truth. In fact, you would love the truth more than your... You would love the truth of God's word even more than your religious upbringing, if your religious upbringing contradicted the truth. Because, you know, we all had some religious upbringing. Oh, most of us did. Not everybody, but most of us probably did. Maybe, you know, here we're predominantly Roman Catholic, but I didn't grow up Roman Catholic. I grew up Baptist. Can't say that I followed everything the Baptist taught. I didn't follow anything anybody taught, unfortunately. But you know, if you love the truth, then it doesn't matter what you've been taught.
That's right.
You will turn to the truth and follow the truth.
Thank you, Lord.
My dad grew up Catholic, became a Baptist, became full gospel. He was a Mason, 33rd degree Mason, past Mason, past Master of the Lodge and all of that. But you know, when the truth shined in his heart, he walked away from that too. He walked away from the Masonry because it's really not a Christian organization. Have to be willing to walk away from it all. Verse 43, here's what the Lord said. Why do you not understand my speech? You don't hear, you don't comprehend, you don't grasp. You know why they don't? Because they won't. You don't hear because you won't hear. You're blinded by your own biases and prejudices and opinions. And here's the DNA test. You are of your father, the devil. The test results have come in. You are of your father, the devil. How can you say such a thing? The lust of your father is what you do. He was a murderer. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There's a lot in this verse when he says in these verses, you know, these are the distinctive markers in the devil's DNA. He said, the lusts of your father. The devil lusts. He lusted and still lusts. The Greek word here, epithumia, has to do with a craving, a longing, a driving desire for something that's forbidden. The lusts of your father. Lust, forbidden lust, things that God forbids, unlawful lusts, ungodly lusts, immoral lusts. All of these are the spiritual genetic markers of the devil's DNA and found in the devil's children. The lusts of your father you will do. He speaks also of the devil as a murderer from the beginning, one who did not abide in the truth. He refused the truth, rejected the truth. In fact, the devil is the supreme despiser and opposer of truth, just as his children oppose the truth today. They oppose it, reject it, deny it, despise it. He was a murderer, and he goes on and says, and he is a liar. The devil's a liar. He lies, he distorts, he cheats, he twists, he promotes everything that's false. you know the devil is a liar, and you know God hates lies.
That's right.
Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue. Proverbs 12, listen to this verse. Verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight.
Amen.
Exodus 20, verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Amen.
Revelation 21, 8, all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That's the second death. Lies. That's the devil's DNA.
Amen.
Lying. Lying. A person who lies. Now, we're not talking about, you know, a person lied and repented and they're not. But a person that practices lying. That's part of your character. It might be a marker. Might check your spiritual parentage because God hates lies. So if lying just comes all that natural to you.
Yeah.
I know people who lie even when the truth would serve them better. It's just that they're so used to lying, that's what they do.
Right.
A politician's lie? I would have a hard time imagining that. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking of Christians, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So here's the Christian's DNA, speaking the truth in love. Christian DNA, right?
That's right.
Our DNA is supposed to be different than the devil's DNA and the DNA of the devil's children. They speak lies, slander, falsehood, accusations, hate, spite, venom. We're supposed to speak what edifies, what builds up, what encourages. They speak what tears down, destroys.
Amen.
We're talking about the devil's DNA, the markers. You know, those traits are passed down to children.
Yep.
You know, these markers in our own biology, these DNA markers can also detect if your parents had certain diseases. And, you know, because medical science is known for a long time, if your parents had something, it's likely that that was passed down. So, you know, you have to guard yourself. Or really, we need to pray and break all those inherited things in the name of Jesus. But you know what the Lord includes in the definition of lying, because the devil's a liar, included would be hypocrisy. Because, you know, hypocrisy is pretense. You're pretending to be something or someone that you're not. It's a trademark of Phariseeism. They pretended to be very spiritual people. They pretended to be a humble people. But it was all, you know, they were proud of their humility. They pretended to be a prayerful people. They would make long prayers, but it was all a pretense. The Lord said they did it because they wanted people to see them and admire them. So everything they did had the wrong motive, had the wrong motive. So hypocrisy is just another form of lying. Pretending piety when the Lord said inside they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Somebody mentioned the politicians and the things they say. It's not just that, but I find myself when I listen to the news now really getting aggravated because it's no longer news. You can't really trust the news. They don't tell the truth.
No.
And when you hear them distorting the truth,
right,
and telling these absolute falsehoods, You know, what I have to tell myself is you shouldn't be surprised. They're just doing their father's business. That's all. You know, they're just acting like their father. That's what they do. They act like their father. We have to act like our father. They're going to act like their father. So maybe we shouldn't be all that surprised. Amen. That's what they do. He was a liar and the father of it. Don't act like him. Don't act like him. We're supposed to tell the truth. Sometimes even if it gets us in trouble or costs us. And if you are at a place where you just can't say, then, you know, you don't have to say anything. You just may have to bear the consequences for that, too.
Amen.
Well, look, let's look here at another of these markers of the devil's DNA. Pride permeates the devil's DNA. We know that's true. That's found all over the Bible. But several places in particular. You mind if I read a passage from Ezekiel? I'm going to come back to this passage in John, but I want to read a passage in Ezekiel chapter 28. I know that y'all are familiar with this probably, but here, Ezekiel 28:12, Ezekiel is prophesying, "Son of man, take up a lamentation to the king of Tyrus." And here's a prophecy that goes way beyond a physical king and starts prophesying of something that happened long before. "Say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty." That's not a mere man he's talking about now. One who seals up the sum, one of incredible intelligence. One full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Perfect in beauty? There is no such thing in a human being.
No, you're right.
There is no such thing. But to tell you that it goes beyond some physical person, verse 13, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God."
Wow.
That's not no king of Tyrus there, no earthly physical king. He's talking about Lucifer. "Every precious stone was thy covering." He said, he goes on and says, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." That speaks here of a being who was created by direct agency of God. No human being except for Adam and Eve were direct creations of God. Adam and Eve, God created. The rest of us procreated. But Adam and Eve, direct creations of God. But he's speaking here of a being that God created and was created. These tabrets and pipes, these are musical instruments. That's why Christians believe that the devil, he's now the devil, but when he was created, had tremendous musical giftings, just tremendous anointing, musical anointing. And then verse 14, he removes all doubt who he's talking about. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." You were a guarding cherub, one of the cherubim, among the mightiest of God's created spiritual beings, the cherubim. They guarded the garden. They guarded the presence of God. He said, "I've set thee so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect, perfect in thy ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." Verse 17, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thine beauty." Because of thy beauty. "Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom, by reason of thy brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay you before kings, that they may behold you. Pride. You were perfect. You were filled up with your own beauty. He's the original narcissist.
Amen. Huh. That's right.
Pride. Lifted up because of your beauty. You know, the Bible tells us repeatedly that God hates pride. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination to him. The very first one he mentions, Proverbs 6:16, a proud look. Pride, egotism, conceit, vanity, haughtiness, arrogance, self-importance. The French called it hubris, pretentiousness, self-love, big-headedness, superiority. Can be manifested in all those ways and more, all of which are sin and reflect one's true paternity.
Amen.
Pride is an ugly thing. I don't know if you've ever read C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, but he has a whole chapter. It's called The Great Sin, and that's what it's about. It's about pride. He said in that chapter, it is the essential vice, that is the core of vices. It is the utmost evil. Why? Because it was the devil's sin.
Amen.
It's through pride that Lucifer became the devil. And of course, pride causes a whole lot of strife and chaos and confusion and division in hearts and homes and lives.
Amen.
So many families. Pride. People having to get their way, having to have the last word, people who won't forgive because of their pride, or people who won't apologize because of their pride. You just have to say something. You can't just keep your big stupid mouth shut. You have to say something. What is that? It's pride. It's self. It's flesh. I think of the passage in Isaiah, the I will section, that also speaks of the devil. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Listen to this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice all these I wills. You look those verses up. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. I will, I will, I will. Thou hast said in thy heart. It's I. All those eyes and can't see, you know, just can't see their blindness. But here's the epitome of pride. I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. I want to ascend. You know what? Pride, this pride is also a manifestation of a lust for power, lust for position, a lust for prestige. I will be like God. I will ascend. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So these are all ways that pride is manifested. And of course, the Lord saw the pride and the self-righteousness and the conceit of the Jews. And he told them in John 8:44, you're just like your father. He saw their conceit. He saw their self-righteousness. He saw their pride. He saw how self-important they were, how much they thought of themselves. And he said, you're just like your father, the devil. Because that's the devil's DNA. That's a marker. That's a distinct marker. This pride, this hubris, this arrogance, this conceit. I would have to agree with Tozer and Ravenhill and David Wilkerson, and all the others who have said it in a variety of ways, that a person who draws closer to God thinks less and less and less of themselves.
Amen.
And you can't help but think less and less and less of yourself the closer you get to God. Those who examine themselves and are proud and think of what I've done, what I am, what I've accomplished, that's when you're in trouble. That's when you're in trouble. When you can pat your own self on the back and say, what a good boy I am. But that's the nature of pride, you know. It's self-deceiving as well. Can I point out another marker in the devil's DNA?
Amen.
Violence.
Amen.
Violence, which we know manifests in a lot of different ways. Anger,
yep.
Wrath, rage, hatred. This is all part of the devil's DNA. John 8:44, Jesus said, he was a murderer from the beginning.
That's right.
Violence.
Amen.
In 1 John 3:15, the Bible associates hatred with murder. 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. John 8, back in our text, John 8 and verse 40, Jesus told those Jews, you want to kill me. I mean, these are spiritual people. These are religious people. But this violence is in their heart. You want to kill me. Well, their father is a murderer. They're just acting like their father.
That's right.
You were a murderer from the beginning. I don't believe he's just merely talking here about the murder of Cain, you know, Cain who killed his brother Abel, but I believe it goes beyond that and speaks of actually Adam and Eve, who brought death into the world by sin, by the devil deceiving, the devil tempting. You know, when you see all this violence and anger in the world, when you see this rage in people's faces, when you hear this venom spewing out of their mouths, I want you to know you are watching the devil's kids. That's the devil's DNA. It's coming out of the devil's kids. Red, yellow, black, white, doesn't matter. They're the devil's children. This violence, this anger, this rebellion, this hatred, this is the devil's DNA. And don't let it be found in you, beloved. Purge yourself. Repent. Ask the Lord to get this out of you.
Amen.
Because it leads to another of the very characteristic markers of the devil's DNA, and that is rebellion. Remember, he was the first rebel.
That's right.
He is the original defier of the Almighty. The original mutineer, not musketeer, mutineer. He led the first insurrection that there ever was. Y'all awake?
Yeah.
Now, the Bible tells us, and Christians have held for thousands of years, that the devil not only revolted himself against God, which is bad enough, but he stirred up insurrection in heaven and led a revolt among the angels and took a third of them with him. And while we don't have one specific verse that we can point to that declares that, there are numerous verses that, you know, we put together and come to that conclusion. Verses like Isaiah 14:12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down, cast down. The word means to be hewn down like a tree. How you are thrown down, who did weaken the nations. We know Satan fell, right?
That's right.
We know he rebelled. Luke 10, the Lord said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And you read in passages like Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. And Revelation 12:4 says, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And there was war in heaven. Verse 7 says, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So this dragon had angels.
Right.
We know who the dragon was. Because he tells us in verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So his tail drew a third part of the stars. You know, we add 2 and 2 together, we come out with 4. And see that there was a great insurrection, a great rebellion in heaven. And in that rebellion, Lucifer took a third of the angels with him. He must be a powerful being. It still boggles my mind to even imagine that holy angels could be deceived by the devil, could be duped by the devil into following him in an insurrection against the Almighty. But such is the power of his deception and persuasiveness, and such is the power that the devil has. Now, it's inconsequential power, virtually, when compared to the omnipotence of God, because the devil is not omnipotent.
That's right.
He does not possess all power. The devil is not omniscient. He is not all-knowing. The devil is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at one and the same time.
Amen.
But he does have fallen angels, who we believe are the demons. He does have them, and they are busy. And you know what? Since God forbids rebellion in heaven, they're down here on earth. And guess what they're inciting? Rebellion. They're down here on earth doing what they did up there. They're down here on earth inciting rebellion and defiance and hatred and anger and wrath and rage and... He's good at what he does. He's got thousands of years of experience. He's very cunning. He's very wily. He's very persuasive. That's why you don't give no place to the devil. You don't listen to the devil. I should know better. And still, I can hear these people ranting and raging and so forth on TV, and I find myself wanting to get angry. So, you have to guard yourself. Because this stuff... It can contaminate your heart real quick and make you an angry person. And the next thing you know, you're justifying things that you should never be justifying. Violence, for instance. Rebellion is part of the devil's DNA. Rebellion. It starts as rebellion against God. But it trickles down to rebellion against authority that God has established. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. God established human authority.
That's right?
Right? Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Romans 13:1. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Romans 13:2. He goes on and tells us we must be subject. Hey, does that mean we agree with everything our government or our leadership does? Absolutely not. We may not agree. We may not like it one bit. But he goes on in that same passage and he says, you pay your taxes and you be submissive.
Amen.
You know why? Because rebellion, anarchy is the devil's DNA. Order is God's DNA.
Amen.
Order.
Right.
Respect. That's God's DNA. Respect. Respect.
Amen.
Respect for authority. Even when they are ugly, even when they are ugly to you, you don't return kind for kind. Do not let the devil's DNA surface in your spirit.
Right.
We are not rebels.
Amen.
We are servants of the Most High.
Thank you, Lord. You're right. That's right.
Violence, anger, wrath, rage, venom, all this stuff that spews out of the mouth, the Lord said it comes out of your mouth because it's in your heart. If it's in your heart, it's because it's in your DNA. You got to get that out of your DNA. That's the devil's DNA. And it comes out with repentance. It comes out with forsaking it because we are new creations. That does not belong in us. That does not belong in the child of God. Don't let the devil's DNA be found in you or me. Weymouth, in his translation of Romans 13, verse 2, says, "Therefore, the man who rebels against the ruler is resisting God's will, and those who thus resist will bring punishment upon themselves." Wow. We may not like the authority that we have, but let me tell you, you would like a lot less anarchy.
Okay.
Anarchy would be way worse. God established order. It protects us all. And while it's not perfect, because no human government is perfect, it doesn't mean God endorses all they do or all they choose or all their decisions. It's still the divine plan that there be order and not anarchy.
You're right. Amen.
Do not fall into this angry pit outside the door that rants and rages and rebels. You and I have been born again.
That's right.
We've been born again by a whole different spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are not of this world. We are not like this world.
Thank you, Lord.
Remember when the sons of thunder wanted to call fire down on the cities that rejected? They didn't want the Lord coming through. He said, "We'll call fire down on them." The Lord said, "You don't know what spirit you are of." Because he said, "I've not come to destroy men's lives. I've come to save men's lives." Don't let that devil's DNA trickle down into your spirit to where you just rant, rage,
Amen.
In anger, animosity towards any human being, towards any race, towards anyone, period.
Amen.
The Lord said he came to save. So, let's be about our Father's business.
Amen.
You know, anytime this old stuff wants to resurface in our hearts, it's important that we ask the Lord to forgive us.
Right.
It's important that we ask the Lord to remove this from us.
Amen.
We don't want this in us. That DNA brings death and destruction everywhere it goes.
It does.
That's what the devil does. You know, all that stuff, what does it do in a family? It just tears people apart. All the anger, the unforgiveness, the rage, the heartbreak, the pain, the misery. On the other hand, there's a God in heaven. He said, "Look, if you were of your father Abraham, if he really was your father,
Amen.
You'd love me." Let's let our love for God just spill over and become love for one another.
Amen.
That's what it's supposed to do, you know. Our love for God just spills over and we love one another. And we're willing to overlook their faults, their flaws, their weaknesses.
Amen.
We pray for them.
Yeah.
If they say anything bad about us, we really get them. No, we pray for them.
Right.
And we forgive them. And we love them.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, help us, Lord Jesus.
Look, that was all part of the former us.
You're right.
Now, if we find ourselves, we fail, then you ask the Lord to forgive you. You may have to ask somebody else to forgive you, or several somebody else's. And then you know what? You go back and you pick up that cross and you carry on. Let's carry on. Let's carry on The Lord's with you. He's in you. He's for you. And He's not going to leave you or forsake you.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's pray that the Lord's DNA, spiritual DNA, be found in us and not the devil's. Father, we pray today that You rid us, each and every one of us, of these markers that we read about. Lord, the devil so full of lies, so full of violence and hatred and rage. The devil, a rebel, swollen with pride and conceit. Lord, let none of this be found in us, we pray. Lord, we ask Your forgiveness. Lord, You said that the devil was full of lust, the lusts of the devil men do. Lord, deliver us from lusts of all kind, we pray. Lust for power, prominence, prestige, money, fame, success, immorality. Lust for the things of this world. Lord, deliver us. Lord, instead, let us have real love, true love, biblical love. Lord, love for You. Love for You supremely, preeminently, and Lord, love for one another. Lord, I pray that You would remove every bit of anger from our hearts. Let us be angry only at sin, only at sin. Lord, remove it from our hearts, remove it from our mouths and our minds. Deliver us from ungodly, every ungodly way, Lord, ungodly thinking, ungodly values or philosophies or goals. Lord, let our desire be to honor You and please You and glorify You. Let us bear Your fruit, Lord. Let us bear Your spiritual DNA, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. All these fruits, Lord, let us bear these in our lives, we pray. And in Jesus' name we ask it.
Amen,
amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Praise God.